you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Let's continue with part one of the two-part series titled, He Must Increase.
This day I set before you life and death. Let me help you out. Choose life. And people still choose death. And every decision you make to side with the flesh instead of the spirit is a decision of death. And who wants to take the chance on how many decisions of death can I make before I not be able to go to heaven? I don't know what that number is. I wouldn't play that game. I wouldn't roll those dice. I would set my eyes as the decision and always make decision in favor of Christ. I don't even try and gamble how close can I get to hell without burning. That's not a good game to play. You're always pressing towards the mark of the prize for the high calling in Christ Jesus. You're always pressing towards the mark. You're not pressed toward the mark when you're like, well, you know, I know, but this right here, I can get away with that. It's just a little sin. There are no little sins, and there are no big sins. There's just sin. The Bible said things about if you break any part of the law, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. Now, that's a strong statement, because when you stop and think, no matter what a person did who's in jail, you say, why are they in jail? They broke the law. Doesn't matter what they did. They're in jail because they broke the law. And God looks at us as lawbreakers, and our goal, I mean, he looks at us as righteous in Christ. But when we're breaking the rules, he says they're guilty of breaking all the law. So every sin is important. Every decision against Christ is important. You should be striving to say, God, I'm going to let you increase. And God has mercy and grace as we're growing, but there's no mercy and grace to the person who willfully sins. Not without a penitent heart. Now, if you willfully sin and you repent and your heart is right, but it's hard to repent when you thought you were going to get away with it when you did it. I'm not talking about you living life and because in the flesh you just blurt out something or you do something wrong and you're like, oh man, I'm sorry I did that. It's easy to repent for that because you're actually penitent about it. But when you say, look, I know God said don't do this, but this girl is fine. You know, other folks sin, you start rationalizing with yourself. Skins of reasons, wrapping up lies. God's not going to accept them. And it's going to be hard when you know you planned it and the Spirit of God provided the escape. Amen. And you knew it was the escape, but you said, look, you know, this ain't going to be that bad. I mean, after all, people doing it, everybody's doing it. You're going to have to really do some soul searching to get penitent, because the reason you're doing it is because you don't feel as that wrong. So what makes you think after you do it, you're going to feel as that wrong? You're still going to have a hard time repenting because your mind's still saying, you know, everybody's doing it. And God cannot forgive you and extend his mercy to you if you're not asking for forgiveness. Because he don't want you asking for a way out. God, let's just pretend it never happened. That's not forgiveness. It's not the same thing. Forgiveness is you know you've done wrong and you sense it. You have remorse about it. And if you don't think it's that wrong, how can you have remorse about it? That's like somebody, as long as you think you're right, you can't sincerely apologize for wrong, can you? Husbands, wives, do I have any testimonies? You're right. You really say, well, baby, I was wrong. Just say, like, if it make you feel better, I was wrong, okay? But you ain't sincere about being wrong. Long as you think you're right, and long as you think the act that you're doing is justified, long as you think the act that you're doing is justified, what makes you think right after you do it, you're going to be able to get God's forgiveness when you still think it's okay? See, that's the danger of it. Don't play with it. Don't even get close to it. Now, let's move on. Now, let's look at John 2, the Gospel of John. Epistle, 1 John, back towards the end of the Bible. Let's take a look at 1 John 2, Jesus must increase. And as John the Baptist, we must decrease. And you know what? It's going to be better for us because of that. It's going to be better for we are limiting our prosperity. We are limiting our blessing. We're creating our own problems and hanging on to it by hanging on to our problematic selves instead of letting ourselves be engulfed in God. Letting God give you a new self. 1 John 2. Are you there? Verse 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth for what? Forever. Forever.
Hello, this is Robert Cook, inviting you to meet me at Joy Faith Christian Center, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Palm Beach Lakes High School. For more information, find us on the web at www.joyoffaith.com. You can listen to today's program again on your smartphone or on your computer online at www.joyoffaith.com. I look forward to meeting you in person this week at Joy Faith Christian Center, where you'll experience excellence in ministry and excellence in living.
And you know what? It's going to be better for us because of that. It's going to be better for we are limiting our prosperity. We are limiting our blessing. We're creating our own problems and hanging on to it by hanging on to our problematic selves instead of letting ourselves be engulfed in God. Letting God give you a new self. 1 John 2. Are you there? Verse 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth for what? Forever. Forever. Now, I want you to look at something. Have you ever read John, and John seems to be black or white, good or bad? I mean, if you ever read these statements, you're like, that can't be right. That's got to be softened a little bit. That's like absolute. It says things like, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Have you ever thought that's kind of absolute? I mean, I know people that might have a little love of the world and they still love God. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John, if you study his writings, he had a habit of being, he saw things black and white. A lot of his things are absolutes. Now, I looked at that first and I thought he was kind of just a hard guy. He's just being hard on people. He's just making it difficult. And then I started looking at other scriptures, like keep your place there, but flip back to Matthew 6. Flip back over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, the gospel. Matthew 6, verse 24. And I noticed that he was a disciple of Jesus. So I wanted to see maybe where is he getting all this toughness from, because you know different people hear different things. I can preach a sermon and one person hear one thing and the other person hear something different, because you hear what you need to hear. I'm not saying selective hearing. I'm talking about God will minister to you what needs to be ministered. Now let's take a look here at Matthew 6:24. Jesus had an absolute, which we don't like those, do we? We like to see a gray area. Now it says, nobody. No one, no human being can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth or money or mammon together. Now, that does not say you cannot serve God and be wealthy. That's not what you're talking about, because David was a man after God's own heart. He was wealthy. Solomon was a man of God. He was wealthy. Abraham was a man called God's friend. And he was wealthy. So we're not talking about that you can't be wealthy and be blessed. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about serving. You cannot serve two gods. Now, that sounds like an absolute. You either will hate one and love the other. Well, I could kind of be, you know, devoted to God and still be kind of devoted to my dream. I can do the will of God and still do the things I always wanted to do. You cannot, even if what you want to do, if it's not lined up with the will of God, which therefore is not your thing, it's God's thing that he placed in you, you cannot serve both. Forget about your so-called dreams apart from God acknowledging that as his will for you. Some people are, they're suffering for Jesus. Because I gave up all I wanted to do in life to take this unhappy Christian life. You better check your salvation. Because I don't think you've ever given your life to Christ. If you want back what you had instead of what God has for you, you aren't saved. Now, a lot of times we exemplify this by not letting Christ have his way in us. See, that's where it sneaks up on you. The Bible talks about beware those sins which so easily beset you. That sin of self-centeredness, That sin of selfishness, that sin of me, mine, and I. I want it my way, my way, my way. Because you will always end up siding with the flesh when your way is apart from God. Because the way of the Spirit is always going to be the way of God. And anything else is the way of the flesh. I've had to do the same thing. I've had my plans of what I was going to do with my life. Now, I'm happy what I'm doing because this is much better. But I had my plans, and I had to let those things go. I had to reach a point where I said, look, Lord, I'm a senior at University of Michigan in biochemistry. I'm going to medical school. I'm going to make $250,000 a year being a microvascular surgeon, and that's the way it's going to be. But the Lord had other plans, call you to the ministry. And in my heart, medicine was totally the money. I was serving mammon. I didn't care nothing about medicine, didn't care nothing about healing anybody. But it was a means to an end. I had it all planned out. I was going to go to, it's 12 years of school after college. You know, it's going to be 12 more years of school after to be a microvascular surgeon, to go through all the training, the residency. But I was going to do it. Because by the time I reached close to 40, which I'm getting headed up that way now in a hurry, I was going to be set. I was going to do 3 or 4 surgeries a year. Charge hundreds of thousands of dollars, be a specialist in the field because I believed I could do it. And people who were wealthy, where all their money, they couldn't hook it up to the hearse and take it to the funeral parlor with them, they were going to give it to me to save them. Give me hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars because I had the reputation of being one of the best surgeons on the planet. I knew I had the ability to be whatever I wanted to be. But God called me into the ministry, and I had to lay that aside. And I don't look back saying, ooh, I wish I had. Never once have I looked back saying, oh, by now I would have been. But yes, I did have a plan that is not the plan that lined up with God, and I had to lay it down. I planned on having certain friends for a lifetime, but when I got born again, they didn't want to get born again. The things that we were doing, I wasn't into that anymore. We can't do that anymore. I had to let them go, but I planned on them being my friend for the rest of my life. You ever have any friends that's holding you back? You know they're holding you back, and you won't let Jesus increase by letting them go? The flesh. Giving in to the flesh. Well, this, they make me feel good, so Jesus doesn't. Serving God is not good to you. Serving man or anything that you put above Jesus is your new idol, and God is a jealous God. He will have no idols or other gods before him. And that's why some people won't be in heaven who think they're going. I went to church, so... Going to church has nothing to do directly with going to heaven. Because like I said, on the front of the building, it don't say heaven.
Today's message has been part one of the two-part series titled, He Must Increase.
So go ahead and accelerate positive change in your life today. Visit us online at faithfoodshop.com to receive information about obtaining a copy of today's message. At faithfoodshop.com, you'll find hundreds of other messages by Robert D. Cook that will educate, encourage, and inspire you to continue making positive change in your life.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, 2 blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God. Develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
There's more than one way to support the WCNO ministry. prayerfully and financially.